Welcome to At the Line NBA Podcast, talking NBA, Spurs, and everything in between. Now your hosts, Ty Yeager and Mac Pena.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
All right, what's up, guys? It's At the Line, and we got new music. We keep trying different things every time. And the guy is drunk is going to sum up a lot of the stuff that we have coming up today. So I'm Ty Yeager, host of At the Line, and I got my co-host here, Mac Pena. How are you doing, Mac?
What's up, man? How's everything going? It's turned out to be a beautiful week for the Spurs.
Good week. We're able to finish 2-1. Got some, even though they were some lower tier teams, hey, we still got something exciting out of them. I'll take it.
Oh, actually, on a 3-0 streak, man. You know, we beat...
Oh, 3-0, never mind. Don't listen to me. I guess I'm thinking of last week.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're stuck on last week.
Still stuck. Oh, well, it's better than I thought it was. But today, here at The Line, we got a lot of stuff coming up. But first, At The Line is part of the Pulse Podcast Network. For more podcasts like ours, visit PulsePodcastNetwork.com. And download the app in the App Store on the Google Play Store today. You can also follow them at Pulse Pod Network on Twitter. You can also follow us on Twitter at The Line Pod on Twitter. You can follow us at any of our Twitters. We'll give those later. But today we got the Spurs' the last three games, including a nice, beautiful buzzer beater last night and on Tuesday night. Davis is being robbed. We can all say that. And that's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anthony Davis wants out of New Orleans. We won't talk too much, but we have to talk about it. It's one of the main things that's going on. And then we got a new segment. It's called Stupid Tweets. We're going to go through a lot of some stupid tweets. The Lakers think they got everyone, don't they? So, all right. So let's get started off. First, the Spurs had three games since we last recorded on last Wednesday. Spurs were at the Pelicans, then they took a home stretch versus the Wizards, and then again versus the Suns on Tuesday night. And we got a lot of clips from the Suns game, but let's get started with the Pelicans game. DeMar was out. LaMarcus was available, luckily, after our injury report looked a little scary. And Lonnie and Metu were called up for this game. So what happened?
Yeah, so, you know, the day before the game, I believe it was on Friday, you know, people were pointing out that our injury report seemed a little bit, was pretty daunting because we had DeMar out, and then they also mentioned that LA might be out, and then, of course, we still have DeJounte out, and then Rudy with his nagging wrist injury, so it was a little daunting on Friday, and, you know, people were posting, like, Tom Osborne posted that, you know, Lonnie Walker and Metu were still down in the valley or playing.
Metu,
you know,
come on, man. Get it right.
Metu, I'm sorry.
You said Metu.
Playing in the valley, playing in Rio Grande Valley against the Vipers. And, you know, I casually put it out there. I was like, there's no reason for them not to come up. It's happened before. Eubanks, you know, played that on the same day. He played with the Austin Spurs, and then he also played with San Antonio. So it's not uncharacteristic for the Spurs to play them back to back on nights like a back to back like that. So it was great. We got to see Lonnie come out and do his thing. So that game was definitely something that a lot of Spurs fans wanted to see.
And the Spurs did take out that win 126-114 over Pelicans that were very shorthanded. First, they did not have AD. This was before any of the news that we heard about the trade. He was out with a finger injury. Then we had Julius Randle was out too, the Plano boy. And then Nikola Mirotic, he was out as well. So they essentially had no other big man besides Jahlil Okafor. So,
yeah, he's in the past few games, he's shown that, you know, he was definitely slept on. You know, people defensively might want to say something that he's still not there defensively, but I don't think that's his game. I think his game has always been, you know, been the offensive scorer, and I think he shouldered that pretty well. for not playing quite a bit last year. And going back to the Spurs, going back to all the injuries that New Orleans had, they were out with their main three, scorers, Nikola being out, Randall being out, along with AD. It all fell on Jaleel or Drew Holiday and some of the role players to bring things out. And so, I think that was a huge mountain for them to climb out of, And I think they did a really good job. I mean, they definitely still put up a fight. And like I said, it's always tough in the Smoothie King Center. We always have a battle there. So it was still a pretty good game.
Yeah, it was a good game still. And then I think everyone that has been following the Spurs, we were all yelling Lonnie on Twitter. And then what was his first shot, a three or a layup? Or no, it was a mid-range pull-up. And I think we all went crazy on Twitter for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as soon as he came in, everybody, started getting those tweets ready, and they started blasting him right when he came in. And I think it's crazy to see. I think this goes back to the Boban mania that we had. Boban is this crazy physical specimen that nobody's seen. He's just so massive, but then yet he's such a great, loving guy. And so the city of San Antonio and everywhere Boban's gone has completely embraced him and loved him. And I think the same thing goes with Lonnie. Lonnie just has that pure, sincere charisma that everybody wants to get behind. And I think it was, can't remember who wrote the article. I think it was Petrini. Is that how you pronounce his name, last name?
I think so.
But Tom Petrini, spent some time with him and wrote a really great piece on him. It was either Tom
Yeah, I think it's Tom Petrini. Tom Petrini. It's one. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, so he wrote a great piece about how. So there's a great piece on Lonnie that, the city of Reading really embraces him and really raised him to be like the, the star child of Reading, Pennsylvania. And them giving us Lonnie has been, I think it's been amazing. And it's definitely been great for him because a small city like Reading, small town like Reading coming to San Antonio, it's the perfect place for him to be. A city that's going to back him, and just completely adore him. I think it's been fantastic for him.
Yeah, I didn't really get to meet him face to face, but I follow him on Instagram. The dude's younger than me, and I'm pretty damn young. And as it is, I'm 20 at the time of this recording. The dude's younger than me, and he knows what the hell he's doing in life, and it's pretty cool. I was able to go see him on his birthday when he played here up in Frisco against the Texas Legends as he was on assignment, and the dude was cool. I made him a poster. He made eye contact with me, gave me that thank you nod. Like, it gave me acknowledgement, and I know that it's NBA players. They're always going to be courteous in some way, but Lonnie knows what he's doing. He's very professional for his age. I think that's what Pop has even said about him. But I really like Lonnie. I hope he doesn't go anywhere. You have to love the hair anyway, because levitating hats. Plus, it's easy. It's easy to know that when he's on the court when you see that hair, and then you can start yelling, Lonnie.
Yeah. So I have to play the devil's advocate here. I think the only thing that I am hesitant about Lonnie is his game offensively. I think he has a great shot, and like he looks great when he's shooting the ball, but I think he lacked the off ball movement, because a lot of the times when he's in the game offensively, he's stagnant. He stays in his spot and doesn't really move around too much. Defensively, he's all over the place, which is great because that's what we need. And you've seen it game in, game out, where he makes some type of play, but I think he still needs to work on his offensive game as far as handling it off the off ball.
Yeah, we both pointed that out whenever we were DMing each other while watching the game. The dude can move. He will move around on defense like a bat out of hell, like Manu has before, and he will stay with his man. But On offense, he was very stagnant from what I saw. He was, I'm not sure if he was just trying to avoid getting people's way, just kind of being a role player, as we could say. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he is a rookie. He still has a lot to learn. And from the way that he interacts with people and he addresses the situation, how professional he is, I do believe that he will be kicked into shape by Pop and he will get better, much better on offense. And but another criticism I would have of Lonnie is that he's not selfish, but careless. He's a bit careless with the ball whenever he is in the trash minutes, in the garbage time. He is a little bit careless. I'm not sure if he's trying to show off or he's just trying to do too much, but he is a little careless with the ball and ball handling. But whenever he's doing it, kind of being that role player, if he has that nice mid-range shot, he can find that shot. He is moving at times. I did see him, after noting that he was stagnant, I saw him move a little bit, but then he got taken out for the rest of the game. But Lonnie has a lot, has some good things, has some bad things, needs some improvement in some places. But I have no doubt that this kid is going to do fine.
Yeah, just a final word on that for me. I agree with everything you said, and I do agree that I think everything boils down to him just being a rookie. And the more minutes he gets played, the more burn he has, you know, the more that the game is going to come to him. So I don't necessarily even think that any of it's bad. It's just opportunities, and I think that's the type of person that I am. You know, I always try to look at things as opportunities, not necessarily as bad. And Lonnie, if you ever listen to this podcast, we love you. We're not trying to bash you.
We're giving you criticism, man.
We're not trying to bash you. But I think, like I said, it's just as soon as he can get more run, as soon as he can learn the game from the NBA side and not necessarily the G League side, I think he's gonna blossom. I mean, these minutes are gonna be invaluable for him. So, you know, keep at it. You know, we're so excited to see the future with him.
All right, so now moving on from Lonnie. So this game was a bit different. Powell did get the starting job again. But but we actually saw him play pretty decent in the first minutes. He wasn't being too big of a liability, but I could also contribute that to they didn't have their biggest three power forwards in their game. So, but Powell did take advantage of the opportunity. And I think he had a pretty funny tweet of thanks Spurs fans for all the support, winky kiss face.
Yeah, he's definitely trolling us. I mean, I think Powell is one of those he doesn't use a burner account, but he's very subtle on Twitter, and I think he definitely scours, you know, the Twitterverse and social media, cuz yeah, he was definitely trolling us on that part.
Yes. And so I'll give it to him. I'll give him my social media MVP of the week. I guess we got.
I don't know. That might go to Quincy because Quincy's had some gold lately.
Oh, Quincy's been gold. But was that Instagram Live? Was that this week or was that last week?
That was last week. But this week he did have the AD post, where he put AD and Frazier in his post. And
oh no, I didn't see that one.
You need to go back and look at it. It's great. It's great.
You said Twitter, right?
Yeah. Right. It's on Instagram, but there's a screenshot on Twitter floating. It's fantastic. I mean, I think Quincy's is definitely like that breath of air.
Yeah, he doesn't get the minutes often, but he knows how to interact with fans. I can say that.
Yeah, just real quick, just going back to Powell, because I think there is a common thread in all of these in the past three games. Every time Powell starts, the Spurs starting five look off. It's just it's clunky, it's stagnant. And I think it was this past game with the Suns where the high low games to him in LA just was not working. There was like three turnovers consecutively where, you know, they tried to do the high low and then, you know, Holmes, I believe, just intercepted it or tipped it out to, you know, to one of his players. So it's becoming increasingly frustrating And this is going to one of your points that you have, but it's becoming increasingly frustrating to see Powell in the starting lineup or get the lion's share of the minutes when, you know, we have somebody like Poeltl that's sitting on the bench, or we have somebody like Bertans that's sitting on the bench. And when we had consistency, you know, there was a time where the Spurs were able to consistently just kill other teams, just completely annihilate other teams. And ever since Powell, you know, made his comments and he's gotten back into the lineup and he's gotten some minutes, the Spurs starting five has just really kind of struggled. And if it wasn't for our bench, you know, Juice Squad 2019, it would not, our bench is fantastic, and we would not be in the games like we would be, or like we have been winning, if it wasn't for our bench. So there's something going on with that Powell thing.
We would be shit in this league. We'd be a lottery team if it wasn't for, as much as people on Twitter love to bash RC saying we like the team we have, but I actually have to say I do like the team that we have. This team is really well built for how this team plays, minus Powell, but everything else just works seamlessly at times. That bench unit looks amazing. I know that I used to hate Patty's contract, but now I don't, because Patty's showing up and he's earning that paycheck. He is a...
That jury is still left out a little bit. But no, you're right. He's definitely warranted people not to slander him as much as what happened in the beginning of the season.
And part of that contract is because he's an emotional leader for this team. He's the longest tenured Spur at this moment, unfortunately, just because we lost all our guys. But he's taking a leadership role, especially coming off the bench. He's the bench leader. You cannot say anything else. That Patty Mills is the bench leader for the San Antonio Spurs.
Right.
And then I also say that he's the emotional leader. If you see any emotion, it's always coming from Patty. He's always throwing down the towel. He's always yelling, screaming, picking his teammates up. There's one, my background on my phone is the picture of Davis leaping in the air after making the clutch three against the Lakers. Off to the right of him is Patty Mills yelling with him. What I love.
Yeah, and that's those intangibles that the Spurs organization loves about players. You know, Patty Mill is he's almost the perfect Spur. You know, I think the only people that can encompass that perfect Spur mantra is probably like Manu Ginobili, just because he's my favorite.
Tim Duncan.
You know, there's very few people, maybe even Patty Mills fits in that category. Like, he's just the perfect Spur. Like, everything about him, all his game, his emotion, it's all Spursy, and it's great to see it happen. I just wish we were paying him like 10 million instead of 16.
Yeah, I think we like the 15 million decrease, but I say that Patty kind of earns that paycheck. Plus, he's been playing consistently as well as of late, and he's just been a big spark off the bench, which is what we've been needing, and he's been very reliable these past games.
Yeah, I think transitioning into the... this is a great segue into the Wizards game. So the Wizards came into the AT&T Center on Sunday. The Spurs won 132-119. It was another solid performance with a few caveats. But I think that's been, over the course of the past few games, Patty being as consistent as he's been, Marco being as consistent as he's been.
Davis being consistent,
Davis
too.
And it's these bench guys. You know, it's these rotation players. These players that necessarily are in the starting five, but, you know, get rotated in. And Davis, you know, floats back and forth between the starting five and a bench player. But it's been fantastic. They've been so consistent, and that's helped our starting five so much, especially because of the whole Powell situation.
I have to add on, we haven't had DeMar these past three games either.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that DeMar for all that, you know, his offense has struggled as far as scoring goes, his assists and his rebounds and his playmaking ability have definitely, you know, hindered the Spurs a little bit, to where they can't be as effective as they were being earlier. And I think that's definitely hurt them also. But an interesting thing about that is I did like his little comment about him saying that he feels much better than he's ever felt. I think, and I feel, and I want to feel like that was a little bit shade, throwing some shade at, you know, fake number two.
Jesus.
I know that's kind of a hot take. Like, I don't think anybody's ever said that or mentioned it, but
some people have thought it. I can say that.
Yeah, exactly. And when he saw that, when he tweeted that or mentioned that, I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. Because everybody's been saying, you know, everybody's been talking shit about the Spurs organization and their medical team. And here comes this guy that's just started playing with the Spurs after a shitty situation that happened with him in Toronto. And he's like, look, this is what I needed. I needed a rest. And the fact that the Spurs gave me this rest is going to allow my game to be better. And he even mentioned that. He's like, it's going to do so much for me in the long run, which is fantastic. And I love that. I think that was fantastic.
Yeah, it's and DeMar being out, yeah, it's hurt the team in some ways, because you can see it that the offense sometimes isn't there. We have all these lack moments of just where we're not scoring at times. But again, like we said earlier, the bench is just killing it. And Aldridge, I think he's been much more consistent as of late than he was earlier in the month. He's looking like his December self, luckily. But one of the things I noted too, this wasn't a great month, but it wasn't a bad month. This was not in November in any sort of way. So it wasn't in November, but it wasn't in December either. So we all now associate November with horrible and December with amazing.
So, yeah, I agree. And I apologize, LaMarcus. You have been the anchor for this entire team. So I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, we're still sorry from 2 years ago. He's just too good. He's finally found his footing. And honestly, even though it sucked for us as a fan base to handle with that Kawhi situation last year, I think that was the best thing that could have happened for us when it comes to LaMarcus. So LaMarcus finding his footing, taking his leadership role, and just being shown that he can ball like a mother effer.
Yeah, I think it definitely solidified that this is LA's team for sure. Absolutely. Like, you know, that season that Kawhi sat out, or the season before when Kawhi and LA were playing alongside each other, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people saying, well, they probably won't be able to play with each other. And it looked like out on the court, it looked very clunky. They didn't look in sync, and they just looked like two jagged edges that were just not fitting like a perfect puzzle. And then the next season, you know, we saw a new evolution of LaMarcus, and he was just probably had his best performance of his career in the season. And you know, he kept that going. He's been consistent with that. And so, yeah, I think he understands that this is his team, as far as like he's the alpha right now. And that's the way it goes. I mean, he's been the most consistent player on the Spurs, you know, for the past couple of years, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, so looking at the stats of the past three games for LaMarcus. So first we are going to start with the Pelicans game. He finished 28 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists in 29 minutes. Wizards game, he finished 30 points with 9 rebounds. And then Phoenix, he scored 29 points on 14 rebounds. This dude has been showing up on both scoring and on the glass, which I think this team really needs, that we'll talk about in trade, in our summer trade talk. But LaMarcus has been showing up. He's been, yeah, he's not being throwing out assists or anything like that, but he's still showing up for us, and we would not be in games if we didn't have LaMarcus Aldridge on our team.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been, I mean, he's the reason why we're not a lottery team for sure.
I seriously hope. Thursday is when we get the reserve results. Luckily, it's not the fans voting, it's coaches. And I think LaMarcus does have a chance of getting on that roster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he has to be top 5 big in the league right now, even at his age. I cannot think of 5 more people that are better than LA right now, as far as bigs go, as far as forwards go. I mean, what, you got Embiid?
You got Embiid.
Anthony Davis, maybe. Of course, Anthony Davis. But even then, I mean, so you got Embiid, Anthony Davis.
And then you can't. Jokic. I can't think of anyone. I honestly can't think of anyone.
Yeah, Embiid, Jokic, Anthony Davis, and then from there it's like
it's LaMarcus. And you have to put LaMarcus in at least the top four.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean Boogie, he's just coming back from his injury, so he's
not an all star at all.
Right, he should not be in the all star conversation at all. I mean, going through a list of the 32 teams, it's like there's no other big, there's no other forward that's as dominant and consistent as LA. So
now we're not saying that there's no other dominant bigs, because there is Nikolai and Orlando, but we're just saying that LaMarcus has been showing up much more than these other guys.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, you take LA over Cat. I mean, and we've seen that in the games in the past couple of Minnesota games that we've played. LA outplays Cat, you know,
for sure,
100% of the time. So I know people are going to freak out that I said that LA is better than Cat, but it's true. I mean, it is, especially consistency-wise. Consistency-wise, LA wins all the time.
Wait, hold on. You're saying that LaMarcus is better than Cat?
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
I had to set myself up for that one. We got
I set you up perfectly for that.
We have new drops that I'm loving. That was the Kevin Harlan play-by-play of some guy running onto to the football field of a 49ers game. So,
No, that's good. I just wanted to, you know, kind of push through this. But going on to the Suns game, which is probably the most frustrating one out of, you know, the past two.
It was good game. It was frustrating at times, and I got clips of multiple different things. So hopefully it won't be. But yeah, that was a bit of a frustrating game.
I mean, the good thing is we pulled out the win. You know, 126-124. On the wings of the beautiful performance by Rudy Gay and his buzzer beater. So
hold on. Since you mentioned that.
Right. I was waiting for that drop.
So, well, hold on. First. All right, fine. I'll play it.
We may be headed to overtime. Let the Spurs pull out some magic. 3 seconds to go. Rudy Gay to win it. Yes!
Rudy Gay with less than three seconds on the clock takes a shot.
Cold-blooded buzzer beater. Cold-blooded ice in his veins. Polar vortex buzzer beater.
It was beautiful, man. And because the way they went, because Pop wasn't going to call a timeout. Pop, we've been in too many overtimes as it is. But he goes from top of the key. He's taking control. DeMar isn't there. He dribbles, goes to, I want to say, part of the left wing of the three-point, takes a few steps in, jump shots, and the ball hits that bucket as soon as that buzzer goes off.
It was beautiful, man.
That walk-off, though, could have been better.
No, I think that walk-off was perfect. I think that walk-off was exactly he was supposed to do.
DeJounte roasted him on Instagram on that walk-off.
Oh, see that.
He called a ugly-ass walk-off.
No, I thought that walk-off was perfect.
It was cold. It was cold, but I'm
exactly.
I'm the one that wants more emotion, and then so he's just like walking nonchalantly because he knows that it wasn't a great game, but he finished it out. But Davis came jumping on him.
Yeah, speaking of that, I know there's some people that have some issue with how Pop handled the post conference, or at least the interview post-game.
Yeah, so let me play that because I actually got that.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that they outplayed us, out-coached us, out-physicaled us, out-executed us. We had no respect for them or for the game. We didn't play with each other. It was a pathetic performance, and Phoenix got robbed.
By the way, buzzer beater was provided by Fox Sports Southwest, and this comment was by Jabari Young of The Athletic.
Yeah, so, and when Pop said all that, I mean, there's only one thing you can say, like, he's not wrong.
You know, no, he isn't.
It should have never been 126-124. You know, it should have never been that close. The Suns are the worst team in the Western Conference. You know, they're there for a reason because they're not that good of a team yet. But for some reason, and we've seen it with this season Spurs, and we've seen it with past season Spurs. For some reason, it's always the bottom teams that come out to play against the Spurs and they kick our asses. And I think Pop has become a lot more vocal about that. Well, I mean, we see it obviously. But this past season or this season, you know, his Pop's most fire interviews have always been when it comes like losing to the Suns or losing to one of the lesser teams. But it's because he's absolutely right. We don't respect them. You know, the team always plays it down to their competition. And we've seen it the other way. Whenever we play the Warriors, when we play, you know, Toronto, when we play, you know, one of the better teams, we play up to them and we play like we should be playing. And it's just this Jackal and Mr. Hyde roller coaster of a season that, you know, I think Pop is just frustrated because at this point, especially coming up, you know, to the All-Star game, there needs to be show some consistency. And I think that's, you know, that's a little partially in his fault because of how many rotations he has and, you know, all the different lineups he's working with and trying to play with. But at the same time, I mean, we're already at All-Star break. We're halfway in and past halfway in and we should be playing consistently with whatever lineup is there.
For sure. And luckily the team came out of it. They put some decent defense, but the start was a bit frustrating. And going back to Powell, where you said that, yeah, he got blown by Holmes a few times. I saw him get blown by Booker three straight possessions and led to score three straight times. And
yeah, no.
And then,
sorry, go ahead.
And another thing, Bryn, I don't know what was up. Bryn that night, he had a negative 19 in plus minus. He cannot just get a shot going. Near the end of the game, he started flowing, but he did not have a good game himself.
Yeah, and I think a lot of our wins are gonna come with how good our shooters are. You know, specifically talking about Patty, Bryn, and Davis and Marco, because they contribute so much of that bench scoring, as well as just our consistent shooters. I mean, they are our go-to three-point shots. You know, a lot of our wins and losses are going to come up to how they're playing. So it's frustrating. But I do agree that, you know, Pop should have probably mentioned about how, you know, as an organ or as a team, the Spurs didn't choke. I mean, yeah, we didn't play a great game. Yeah, they played down to that team. It should have never been that close. But at the same time, like, they still pulled out the win. Rudy still got a hell of a buzzer beater. You know, we still grinded it out. I know it's not
a pretty one.
Looking for, right, exactly. It's not a pretty one, but I think Rudy said it too. He's like, well, hey, I'm not going to say that. That's, you know, he's a coach. He can say that. I'm not. And you know, that's the perfect, you know, encapsulation of it. It's like, you know, we understand that it's frustrating, but at the same time, at least give us some credit.
Yeah, it was a sloppy win, but it's still a W in the win column, and it also tied us with the Rockets in the standings, I believe. So
right.
So, but I know a win is a win to me. I know that some sloppy wins, but luckily that's stuff to learn from. And also the other thing is that Suns team ain't too shabby. They've put up good fights against the Raptors, the Bucks, and the Celtics while all on the road. They know how to play on the road, apparently.
No, that's a very great point. Yeah, they've definitely given a lot of teams trouble, and I think it comes down to their execution at the end. And so, yeah, I think Pop is just trying to light a fire underneath the guys and guys' asses, but it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, it's still a win, and it puts them on a 3-win streak going into the next few games too. So, I think it's going to be a great way to end January on a nice buzzer beater. Helps us out. So the other thing I do want to talk about, because Bertans was pretty damn good in that game. I look at the stats on that one. Davis had scored 18. Yeah, he was shooting a lot of threes that night. He went, the Spurs shot a uncommon 34 different three attempts.
It was definitely the Davis Bertans revenge tour. I think after he heard what the NBA said about him,
he did shoot 5 for 12. But he was trying to put up shots. So,
but no, I think he's definitely trying to show, you know, Adam Silver in the league that, hey, I belong in that 3-point contest. You know, and he had that step back three. It just busted. It was crazy. I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Bertans right now.
Yeah, and
he's like I said, his revenge tour is fantastic and it's beautiful. I love it.
Let's hear his comments on after, because they were able to finally talk with Davis after he's been out with taking care of his newborn child who had an illness. But so he talked with the reporters after the game last night.
Shouldn't the team with all those 3-point shooters have won in the All-Star shootout?
Well, they're hoping for it. We're hoping it might happen, but we'll see.
That's something you know, is you'd be interested in?
Of course. You know, I don't know how many times I'm going to get a chance in my life to do it. And, you know, as a kid watching NBA and seeing the All-Star weekend, you know, I'm probably not going to have a chance to play in the All-Star game, but... But, you know, at least to go to the 3-point contest would be great.
Is there a 3-point contest you remember watching, like a particular one?
Not a particular one. You know, every year just kind of watched it. I know that Matty B was in the 3-point contest once, and Belly won. So, you know, you kind of remember those things.
You know, there's a petition out to try to get you in, right?
Yeah, I've seen. It's funny, but, you
have
know.
Have you heard anything, Davis, from the league? I mean, you're leading the league in 3-point percentage.
Nothing since when I heard from my agent that I'm not shooting enough, which I haven't heard in my life before.
First time anybody told you that?
Yeah.
So apparently he wasn't shooting enough, even though he's never been told him that in his life ever again.
So I'm saying that I love his revenge tour and, you know, inject it into my veins because that's what I want to see more of.
It's going to be awesome. So we need to, yeah, I can't keep thinking about it. But let's talk about Rudy a little bit, because Rudy is, because he's been showing up with DeMar being out, and he's just been an influence that this team has need. Even though he's not putting up big numbers, he's still showing up and being a big influence.
Yeah, he's definitely taken the absence of DeMar into stride, and I think he's been another consistent player that's definitely helped us throughout the time, you know, where our rotations are a little shaky. And it's been great. You know, he's been Rudy of old, and his knee injury seems non-existent. And so that's exactly what we brought Rudy in to do, you know, to be that go-to scorer. So I can't say how much, you know, I've loved to see Rudy ball out, and it's been amazing. Because he's been that second scorer from LA. You know, whenever we need somebody to go and score, or our offense has been stagnant, boom, he's been there. He's nailed shots. Again, that buzzer beater was highlight worthy, and probably, like, you know, SportsCenter top 10 should be up there.
Yeah, and Andy D. Bailey, who is always a great follow on Twitter if you love stats and love doing random player polls where you don't know, he just puts up stats randomly and you don't know what the players are. Well, so he put up a poll of player A and player B. Player A had 19.2 points per game, 8.9 rebounds, 3.3 assists, 1.4 3-point per game, 1.2 steals, had a almost .099 win shares per 75 team possessions, had a true shooting percentage of .602 with a plus 1.9 as the box, while the other player had about 19, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 assist, only about 84 win shares, had a minus .5 on the block. Who do you think was player A, and who do you think player B was?
Shoot, I don't know. One of them had to be Rudy, though, right? I guess.
So, yeah. So everyone picked player A, 96 over player B, 4%. Player A was Rudy Gay, while player B was Jason Tatum.
What?
Yeah, Rudy. Rudy's been putting up some quiet numbers. He has a true shooting percentage of .602. That's a pretty damn good shooting percentage.
That's insane. I mean, I can understand that Jason Tatum's barely in his second year, but even still, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that would never choose, you know, Rudy Gay over Jason Tatum if the names were associated with him. So that's awesome.
And that's what the tweet says. He said, Andy said, obviously no one's taking Gay over Tatum long term, but I still found this interesting. I assume there are some fans out there who would be surprised to know Gay's better this season alone.
Dang.
He's... I love Rudy. I've loved since that was whenever we did sign him last, not last offseason, but the season before. That was a surprise signing for us. And some people were kind of questioning with the injury and everything. But I've been excited to see Rudy. I was actually excited to see the two squad, which was going to be Kawhi, Rudy, and LaMarcus. It would have been so good, though.
No, I mean, I loved Rudy ever since. I mean, before he even came on the Spurs. But when he came on the Spurs, I was extremely excited. Hesitant, but excited. Obviously because of his, you know, his knee injury. But he's been amazing ever since.
Yeah, so. All right, so we're going to preview some of the next games, and we have a guest for one of the games that we're going to preview. Well, the next game is a Pelican squad that's kind of in disarray, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough. I'm glad the next game technically is the Nets on the 31st.
Oh, JK, I'm bad. Never mind. I suck.
Yeah.
I'm trash. Don't look at me.
That's okay.
We got the Nets, everyone.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Well, I'm just going to say then, because I thought we had three games. We have four games to recap now. Jesus.
We record on the Golden State game, which I don't know if we're going to do because that's at 9:30. So we got to figure something out. We'll talk about that off air.
We'll record during the game, damn it. We're going to say, yeah, he's been awesome. Woo, we made it three.
But I think so the Nets are actually, you know, one of these dark horse teams that are looking pretty good. Jared Allen's been playing amazing, and that's another UT guy to go up against LA, so it's going to be nice to see. D'Angelo Russell's been playing really, really great. Too bad we're not going to see Spencer Dinwiddie because of his injury. The Nets squad has looked pretty good, and I mean, I think if there's one schedule loss in this homestand, I think it could be to the Brooklyn Nets. It could, like I said, there's low chance, but you know, if we play our game, if you know everybody does what they're supposed to, and hopefully, like I said, light a fire under them, then we should win pretty soundly. Hopefully,
yeah, it should be easy. I know that the last time I saw their injury report, I thought our injury report before the Pelicans game was bad. Theirs had like 10 guys on it.
Yeah,
it was bad.
And I think hopefully we've gotten over this injury bug, but you know, we still got some injuries that we're dealing with, and especially nagging injuries. But I think we're one of the healthier teams in the league.
For sure. And it makes our life so much easier. Just that we only have to deal with one injury, and that's DeJounte being out for the season, unfortunately.
Right.
But so, luckily, it's not injury management.
So the next game.
Saturday,
February the 2nd, is going to be the Pelicans again. They're coming to the AT&T Center, though. So, you know, we should win that soundly again. Hopefully, we can pull out the W there. AD is still going to be out. I don't know about Mirotić or Randall, but you know, we should be able to still pull out the win, even though Mirotić and Randall could play potentially.
Yeah, and the Pelicans are taking a lesson from us, and they got on their petty level too with their intro video tonight. They took out the final frame that had Anthony Davis in it.
Oh man, that is, I love the pettiness. I love the pettiness of the NBA. It's amazing.
It's great, and I think the Spurs are the central point of pettiness, of like low-key pettiness, though.
Yeah, they are very low-key, yeah. The Spurs are at that point where it's like they're borderline pettiness slash they still want to look like that, you know.
We're a professional team.
Right, the spotless, you know.
That's how petty we are. All right, so now we're going to preview the Kings matchup, which is... Mac, what day is that? Because I'm blanking.
It's on February 4th.
February 4th, thank you. All right, well, we got from the Royalty Podcast, which is also part of the Pulse Podcast Network, we got Austin DeBolt, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about the Kings because we don't know shit about the Kings.
Hey, no worries, man. How's it going, guys?
It's going.
This Kings team's super exciting. I mean, I'm sure that you've kind of seen maybe some highlights from Buddy Hield. He's been playing super well. De'Aaron Fox been playing really well, too. We're a very young team. Yeah, and I mean, playing against the Spurs, I've always kind of been a sucker for the Spurs, honestly. I don't know if it's Popovich or whatever, but I always have a soft spot for them. So it's going to be a good game, I think. I mean, our biggest hole is our big men. I don't know, who you guys are starting big men?
We got LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, you guys are going to – he's going to have a good game. Let's just say that. Because he's going to be matched up against Willie Cauley-Stein.
And so – and. So we thought Willie was, so we were going to have a question of, we thought, what do you guys thought about Willie being part of your long-term plan, or do you guys think he will be dropped eventually through either a trade or something else?
I don't see him being dropped. I could see him being traded if we get a good offer for him, but I think he is part of the long-term plan, yeah. He started out, he's just kind of inconsistent. He's been playing really well as of late. He's been a double-double machine. I mean, he'll get... not any huge numbers, but just like, you know, consistent 12 points, 10 rebounds.
That sounds about good. Mac, what do you got?
Well, I wanted to go back to just the kind of beginning. I mean, we played the Kings earlier in the season. They lit a whooping on us, and I think like Willie Cauley-Stein had a really good game. I had to pull back the stats on it, but that's anyways. So, but yeah, I think, and I think the biggest issue with LaMarcus is like when he has a really lengthy big on him, he tends to not do as well. So Willie Cauley-Stein might pose a problem for him. But I mean you're absolutely right, Austin. The Kings are this dark horse playoff candidate that they can pull their pieces together like they did earlier in the season. I mean, they can definitely provide, you know, getting that they can definitely get into that playoffs and be a threat. I think so. They have all the intangibles. They might be a piece away, but I mean, it's going to be no joke.
So, real question: does LaMarcus Aldridge start at center for you guys?
Yeah, he does.
Okay,
he'll
have a pretty decent game. I don't know if he was kind of swinging center power forward, because I know that, I mean, Paul Gasol has been rough this season. I didn't know if he was still starting or not.
He starts on and off. It depends on how Pop's feeling, but lately he's been starting, but he doesn't play a majority of the game for us.
Okay, I was going to say, because if Willie Cauley-Stein's lined up against Paul Gasol, it's going to be a tough time for Paul, but if he's lined up against LaMarcus Aldridge, it'll be a tough time for Willie. Another thing is our perimeter defense is pretty good, but our defense against the slashing type player, kind of like DeMar DeRozan, is not the best. So that's going to be another thing to watch out for. If DeMar DeRozan can get to the interior, he'll have a pretty decent game too.
So how do Kings fans feel about the former King, Rudy Gay?
I mean, he played great for us. We hold no resentment. You know, he's a really fun player to watch. Like I said, I shouldn't say it because we're kind of in a race for the playoff spot right now, but I always find myself rooting for the Kings. He's a great player and a great guy. So yeah, I think he's a solid player.
And you guys have a fairly young team, and this team seems like they're just missing one piece of I feel like they need a true veteran big man that isn't Zach Randolph. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. I know that we were in trade pursuit for Mark Gasol, but I believe that we're no longer interested. That would have been a huge pickup for us. I feel like our main hole is in small forward. Because, I mean, we aren't starting Harry Giles yet. Once he gets going and we can start him and Marvin Bagley at small and power forward, I think that'll be big for us.
Stay away from Taurean Prince. We want him.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, like, we have Justin Jackson playing for us right now against the Hawks. Justin Jackson's good, but no disrespect, but if he could step up his game or if we could find a better small forward, I think we would definitely be a playoff team.
So you do have the, I want to say it was the second pick of Marvin Bagley. Third, feel free to correct me if I'm messing that up.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So how has he been playing in his rookie season?
Oh, I think he's been doing really well. I mean, you can't really, it's a rookie season. It's hard to tell. I mean, on our last podcast, we talked about, is he going to have a better career than Blake Griffin in the long run? I don't know about that. That's a bit of a stretch. It's too soon to tell. But I do know, I mean, he's played 38 minutes against the Raptors. He had 22 points against the Pistons with 11 assists. No, I'm sorry, against the Raptors with 11 rebounds. So he's definitely got production. He had 38 minutes that game. I'd love to see him in the starting lineup more. I think he's a really good pick.
All right.
Sorry about that, guys. I couldn't find my notes.
Don't worry, we all do it. So all right, so if you can name one player that the Spurs need to watch out for, who is that player?
It's tough for our team because it seems like De'Aaron Fox or Buddy Hield will go off each game. And it's either one or the other, and it just kind of depends on the night. So I'd say one of those two. Those are our really explosive offensive players.
All right.
I think the last time we played, the issue was a guard play. So I think De'Aaron Fox burned us, and Buddy Hield was going off. But
yeah, for sure.
So I think that's the biggest Spurs Achilles heel is the guard play. I mean, that's always been our Achilles heel for the past year, especially since DeJounte went down.
For sure, yeah.
But I think hopefully, you know, Derek White can turn that around.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say definitely. And I mean, one thing that's tough about the Kings is we have a super high pace of play.
Right.
We're very fast. De'Aaron
Fox is so fast.
He is, yeah. And I mean, who are you guys starting at point right now?
We're starting Derek White.
Derek White, okay. I'm not too familiar with him. I haven't watched much of his game. But if he can keep up with De'Aaron Fox, then De'Aaron Fox isn't close to as efficient as he is when he's running circles around people. If you can keep up with De'Aaron Fox, then your problem would more be Buddy Hield around the perimeter.
So, all right. Well, thank you again, Austin, for coming on. What's your Twitter handle?
Definitely.
Go ahead and plug your Twitter handle, plug your podcast.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we're Royalty Basketball at Royalty Podcast. Go ahead and check us out. We cover the Sacramento Kings. We're going to be broadcasting on Sundays and Wednesdays. So, yeah, we're part of the Pulse Podcast Network as well. Thanks for having me on, guys. If you ever want to come on our show, you're more than welcome.
No problem, man. We'll see you later.
Appreciate
Sounds
it,
good,
Austin.
Man. You guys
Thank
have
you.
A good night.
Again, that was Austin DeBolt from Royalty Podcast. You can find them on the Pulse Podcast Network at pulsepodcastnetwork.com or on the beautiful app. But, all right, now we're going to talk about the last game. This game's going to happen while on Wednesday. Don't know how we're going to do that or recording-wise, but we still got to preview it. I'm a little bit worried, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Golden State's playing like Golden State. they're not this, you know, this timid team that was once earlier in the season. They are coming back. I mean, it looks like, you know, that Undertaker gif where like he pops up and,
oh no,
you know, yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. Everybody thought they were dead. You know, everybody thought like, hey, this is, you know, it's going to be a cakewalk through the West. Not anymore, guys. We're all shit out of luck because the Warriors look like they're coming back. And the fact that they added Boogie, it's just five all-stars on their starting team. Like this is what you play in NBA 2K, like with this, the God Squad.
This is the team I build.
Right, exactly. This is the team you build on NBA 2K, and you just like run through seasons. Like, just smash through it.
Problem is, I never built this team on a normal my GM. I always did my league where I where I messed with everyone's contract. It made it all like $5 million. Yeah, but this team is going off a normal rules, real life cap. I do think they're cheating though with Boogie only signing a veteran minimum. Still cheap. But
it's going to be a tough game. That's all I know. The Spurs have to play exactly how they played against Toronto and exactly how they played against Golden State in the very beginning.
Yeah, let's just hope that we can piss off DeAndre and get him ejected somehow.
Yeah, Draymond needs to get out of his head and get ejected. Absolutely.
And I think the biggest thing that I've seen that I think it's been effective with our teams is getting him in foul trouble easily because he is foul prone.
Yes, very true. Very, very foul prone. Absolutely. So
I think this is going to be the biggest test for Derek White though, and guarding Stephen Curry. This is going to be, we'll see if Derek White can, because he's already suppressed Kawhi Leonard and he suppressed James Harden. Now, if he can suppress one of the best shooters in the league and possibly in all of it NBA history, then we got ourselves a good damn defender, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. You know, this is a huge measuring stick for Derek White. And even if he doesn't, like even if he just holds Stephen Curry to like 20 points or whatever, you know, as long as he doesn't, as long as Steph doesn't do what Steph does, like get these, start these hot streaks, and then you just see these the Golden State Warriors run on the team. I think it's going to be a good night for Derek White if he can just hold his own against Steph.
Sweet. So, but let's just hope DeMar can actually put some defense against Clay. That might help us some bit too.
You know, I think this is probably going to be a shootout more so than a defensive battle. So I would really like to see DeMar come back to being the DeMar in the beginning of the season.
But
and drop like 30 points.
And it's not like that I don't think we are completely out of this game, to be honest. As much as I am scared about this game, as I think about the matchups, it's a decent matchup. Because you got Derek White on Steph. You got DeMar on Clay. You got Rudy Gay on Kevin Durant. I think that's kind of a decent matchup.
Even David Davis-Bertans will do a good job on Kevin Durant. Well, do as good a job as anybody can do on Kevin Durant.
Then you can possibly put Davis or put someone against Draymond, and then you put LaMarcus against Boogie. It's not that bad. But I think the best advantage that we have coming in is that we have depth. We have a bench player. So if our starters get tired, our bench will just come in there and start lighting them up. They do not have the depth that they have had before.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree. I think, and you're absolutely right. I think our bench is going to have to come through and play the way that they've been playing, and have just another fantastic game, because that's going to be the difference in whoever wins the game. Absolutely right.
I think the only challenge that we do have that this is in Oakland, which could be a killer for us.
Yeah, it's going to be it's where we, I don't know if it's the rodeo, I don't think it's the rodeo road trip, not yet, it definitely is a long string of games. I think it does leak into the rodeo road trip. That might be the rodeo road trip or the start of it.
Might be, but still, this team's likely been one on the road against a down Pelicans team. Let's see if they can win on the road against some decent playoff teams.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but our plus minus on the road is terrible. I mean, it's pretty bad, and that's going to be the biggest issue. I think it's like our plus minus is at a negative 2.4. So we definitely, and again, this comes off of our rotations aren't consistent. We still haven't learned to play with each other and then, you know, the POW addition is just, you know, we gotta find some consistency throughout this, especially on this road trip. Hopefully we can gel much, much more.
For sure. So what do you think is going to be the record of these next four games?
So I think for the next four games, I think we could possibly go 3-1.
3-1. You know, that's what I was thinking. Worst case, if the Kings give us a good fight on the road, I think it could be 2-2, but I think 3-1 is possible. 4-0 can be a chance, but I wouldn't bet my money on 4-0.
Yeah, absolutely. I would. I think it's going to be a 3-1. I would say like 80% 3-1, and then, you know, 15% 2-2, and then 5% 3-1 or 1-3. So
yeah. I do expect us to get a win out of this whole road trip. So,
right, exactly.
So that's basically our Spurs portion of the podcast. We will come back with some more NBA portion after this break. This is At the Line. And we're gonna get started with NBA with that laugh, because why not?
Gotta make it happen.
It's too funny not to play.
He's never gonna live that down, and I'm kind of here for that. Like I enjoy that.
It's gonna be great. So, all right. So, luckily we don't have too much NBA that we have to catch up on. But the biggest news possibly has to be Anthony Davis with the trade request that got him a $50,000 fine.
Yeah, I think, you know, without beating the dead horse over and over again. There's really nothing much to say that's different. I think that $50,000 fine is kind of a drop in the bucket. Like, who cares? You know, there's a stat out there that said he makes like 300,000 each game.
380,000 per game.
Yeah, but, like, it's ridiculous. Come on. Like, 50,000, that's he makes that in a quarter or less than a quarter.
Yeah.
For sure, less than a quarter.
So, Tariq, if you've been living under a rock for the past week and haven't known what the hell's going on or what the hell we're talking about, Anthony Davis, or I would say his agent, Rich Paul, who also represents LeBron James, did it publicly, I want to say publicly, out of the Pelicans, essentially, and said that Anthony Davis was not going to be re-signing with the team, whenever signing extension with the team, and will not be re-signing with them, and requested a trade, which violated the NBA's tampering policy, which they launched an investigation and all of that, and it resulted in Anthony Davis getting a $50,000 fine. And now the pettiness is coming back in, like we said earlier, where he got taken out of the intro video. And I saw something that he might play his last game as a Pelican. I highly doubt that, because there was some report saying that he was going to play out the season with them, but they also don't have the best package going into the trade deadline. There is multiple different situations where the biggest package that, and I think the biggest team that really wants him is the Celtics. However, according to the Rose Rule, which this is, I had to read up on the Rose Rule. The Rose Rule is very complex, very confusing. But after Rose's MVP, Derrick Rose's MVP season, and what year was that?
Shoot. 2009?
11? I think it was 11. But after Derrick Rose won his MVP on his rookie contract, they made a rule where if a player played outstandingly and just completely outperformed their rookie contract, they could get a different extension, which got them a raise. Well, that happened to Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving became a part of the Rose Rule. And there's a rule in the NBA where you can only acquire two players under the Rose Rule, but you can only acquire one via trade as long as they're under that first extension. Since the Celtics traded for Kyrie Irving as he was under the Rose Rule, they cannot acquire another Rose Rule player, aka Anthony Davis, until the offseason when if they re-sign Kyrie or let him go. And did that kind of make a bit of sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was a great summation, a great gist of what the Rose Rule is, because I had no idea what it was either until, you know, I asked somebody on Twitter about it and they explained it. So yeah, that was a great summation of it.
Yeah, so the Celtics, so we're just going to go through this, not too much. We're not going to go too much, but if I'm kind of getting the basic synopsis of, if you don't know what the hell's going on. So the Celtics possibly have the best package, and that they have Jason Tatum, they have Jaylen Brown, they have all of these damn draft picks that Brooklyn just gave them, and they have a lot of talent that they can trade around, and they have the money that they can. I've seen trades where Jaylen Brown's been included, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward. Problem is, Kyrie didn't say that he was going to re-sign with the team, and that's not for sure. But I would say that if they did trade for AD and did get him, that Kyrie would re-sign in the offseason. However, the question is, who would be the sacrifice for the Celtics for him to go? Then there were the trade talks of that, oh, the Lakers are going to get him because AD wants to go to LA or something like that. And then the question was, who are we going to trade? Lonzo? Because Lonzo's the best.
Lonzo's the greatest.
I had to do that. Yeah, we'll go into stupid tweets later. But Lonzo, Kuzma, Ivac, they were the trade situation of the Lakers. And then before we recorded tonight on Wednesday, a report came out saying that the Pelicans have no interest in trading to the Lakers.
Good. I'm glad. And especially after Pop got involved.
Got in their ear. So yeah, so it looks like that he's not gonna AD will not go to the Lakers via trade. So it looks like that the Pelicans may be holding out until the offseason. However, that can change at any moment. that can change in a this could change in the next 10 minutes. We never know based on the how volatile the NBA can be.
Also, the Knicks are in there in that mix too.
They might
have some pretty good options for the Pelicans, but
if I were the Pelicans and if I was getting calls at this time from the Celtics and they were saying, I know we can't trade with you, but if you hold out until the offseason, we'll give you this, this, and this. And if I'm the Pelicans, the Celtics have more worthwhile players to go after.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of Boston, so send them over there, Pelicans. Send them over there, Gentry.
If I was the Celtics, I would try to get a trade deal, not with Tatum. I think Tatum is going to be amazing. I still don't know how the hell that the Lakers and the 76ers pass by him with stupid Markel Fultz and Lonzo Ball. How the hell you pass up Jason Tatum with those two players is beyond me. I don't know.
There's been some crazy ones lately.
I really don't want to cuss too much on this podcast, but they are fucking dumbasses for letting go Jason Tatum. They are fucking dumb. It's because Lonzo is a defender. That's about it. And Markel Fultz is number one pick bust, most likely. But
I never got the Markel Fultz hype. I was never on that train.
I don't know. His pick was similar. Remind me of the Anthony Bennett trade of pick.
Can you imagine if the Sixers got Jason Tatum though? Holy shit!
If they had Jason Tatum, they would not have Jimmy Butler. But
who cares?
I know, but still, that team would be amazing.
I think they would have definitely gone to the West or to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
But I understand why they got Markel, because they needed a true point guard.
Jason Tatum can run the point,
but Jason's not,
I mean, look at Simmons.
Jason is more though of a small forward though,
which is what they need, because Simmons runs the point guard. So there was no reason why they needed an actual.
Where Jimmy's running that kind of the 2-3 motion, then Embiid's running the 5. But if I again go back to the Celtics, if I was the Celtics, I would keep. Because imagine this big three of Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, and Jason Tatum. Imagine that big three.
Yeah, that's fantastic, dude. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Send him over there. Send him to Boston. I'd like to see it.
So, yeah, I would love to see AD in Boston. My East team is Boston. But the trade situation that I'm thinking, I did a podcast with NBA Distribution, and I'll link them to you guys. And we did a whole trade type podcast, and we talked about one of those trade scenarios. But I think the trade that I would do if I was the Celtics would be Gordon Hayward, because the money would match. Put Jaylen Brown and numerous amount of first round picks I got from all these different teams.
And that's not a bad return for the Pelicans. Like, that would still put them in a spot where they're pretty good. I mean, I think Gordon Hayward right now, I think he rushes injury, and a lot of it is mental. And so he's still coming back from that, which is fine.
And then
Jaylen Brown is another solid player too. So,
exactly. I mean, and then you're also adding on, Gordon Hayward's not the number one option on this team. He's probably the third or fourth option, just with all the talent there is. But that's what the Celtics have been building, where they have a lot of talent that they can dish out for a guy named like Anthony Davis. But if you have Kyrie next to Anthony Davis, next to Jason Tatum, man, that's a team to be afraid of.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a team in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, just a hell of a team, period.
Hell of a team. And I do think Boston can compete with Golden State right now. I know they can. The way they played the other night was pretty damn good. And if they're at full force, and then I know that they wouldn't be the same team that they would be if they had got AD, because of the lack of depth they would probably have. But once you, if you get AD in free agency, you're gonna have free agents flocking to you.
Yeah, and I mean, Boston's one of those locations that everybody wants to go to, anyways. So
yeah. So all right. So now moving on, we did too much. I want to get all the. It was a good synopsis. I was able to get my Celtics talk, because that's kind of the one team I've no. Not as well as the Spurs, but pretty damn well. So, but we're going to do a thing called the trade roundabout. Out of the music.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
I love my drops too much. All right, so we're just going to run through some rumors, or especially since the trade deadline isn't next week.
Yeah, holy shit. Already. That's crazy. So, and it's only getting more exciting.
So next week, I'm going to give you our plan. We will have our normal episode on Wednesday night. I'm going to assume some trades have gone down, so we'll talk about that. But we're mostly going to spend more time on the Spurs and normal NBA stuff for that show. And then on Thursday night, then hopefully going into Friday morning, we will record a podcast after the trade deadline and kind of just talk about the trade deadline stuff and catch up on all of that good galore of drama.
Yes. So. Yes. Trade deadline. Let's do it.
Trade deadline, bitches.
So, all right. But in order to have a drama-filled trade deadline, we have to have some drama to go along with it. So the first one is, along with Anthony Davis having that trade request, the Pelicans have also made available Julius Randle, Nikolai Mirotic, and Etuan Moore. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's crazy, man. Like they got Randle in offseason, and you know, they gave him, he has a pretty good salary. I like his salary. It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. It's pretty low.
He's been great for them. Like, he's been a good piece for them. And the same thing with Mirotic. I think last year they traded for him. And he's been great. Like, I think he's been one of their go-to guys. So I think at this point right now, what the Pelicans are doing is they know Anthony Davis is going out. And so what they want to do is they're just going to stash all these draft picks. So that way, you know, they can swing hard. Maybe even go for, you know, for Zion. You know, who knows?
It's the Tank Bowl.
Exactly. It's a possibility. I mean, I know it's a far-fetched possibility because I don't think whoever gets the first round pick is going to give that up because of Zion. But if you have three or four, you know, first rounders dangling your face and you're like, hey, look, I can give you these first round picks if you just give me that one player. Like, that's pretty enticing.
All right. So moving on. Yeah, there's many possibilities. Again, if you guys listen to the NBA distribution podcast where I was a guest on it, we go severely in depth with that different type of trade. The next one is a Kanter trade request still kind of hanging up in the air. He did get some play time tonight on Wednesday night, so we'll see if that. I'm not sure if he's still going to do it, if he's going to stay. Kanter was still my pick. If we're going to trade Powell, he would still be my pick to get pick up. But going back to Mirotic, I also wouldn't mind Randle or Mirotic for Pau Gasol. But what do you think about Kanter?
Yeah, I think he's definitely still an effective big. Maybe not defensively, but for sure offensively, he's got all the assets you need, you know, to have a big that scores really well, especially in the post. And he's starting to step out his jump shot game. So I mean, he's still effective, especially if he can get into a team that that needs an offensive-minded big. I mean, he would be great.
Especially one that can rebound.
One that can rebound, yeah.
The Knicks trying to get rid of some big contracts. Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and Trey Burke are available for the market. I'm not sure this is any players that the Spurs could take. I know there are more guards than wings that we possibly could use, and the contracts could match with Pau Gasol, but I'm not sure about the Knicks. Especially, I'm not sure that the Spurs will pick up any of those bad contracts.
Hell no. I think what the Knicks are doing is trying to dump salary for AD. I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to do. They understand that they smell blood in the water in New Orleans, and they want to do everything they can to make sure that they can pull AD without having to sacrifice Porzingis. Absolutely.
Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, they're still up in the air. There were reports that the Kings and the Pistons were interested in Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol had the Kings had the interest in Marc Gasol, and that could possibly have been good, but I think trade talks died out like they died out about Kanter being traded there. But there are some teams that could use a Marc Gasol pickup. One of the teams that we talked about in the Arrow podcast was possibly Portland.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good destination for him, I think. You know, like we talked with Austin from the Royalty podcast, I think Sacramento would be a really great spot for him. But I know he doesn't want to go to a place that is not proven. And Portland is always that team that's like one piece away. I know they have
Mirotić.
Mirotić and you know, as their center, but after that they don't have anybody else. You know? I can't think of their backup center. So if you go to Portland, you have Damian Lillard, DJ McConnell, you have Aminu, and you have Nurkic there, and then you have Marc Gasol. And that's fantastic. Marc Gasol can rest, or you know, you can run Nurkic on the bench, and you have two viable options for your bigs that are great. I mean, Marc Gasol has added his 3-point shot and he's looking good, and he's always been a great passer, so you know, that would be a great spot to put him in.
Yeah, put him around Dame. I've always liked Dame, so Dame is just clutch. Mm-hmm. Jabari Parker's kind of still there. Oh, sorry. Before we go, Jabari Parker, Mike Conley, there's some trade rumors that he might go to Utah.
You know, there's really nobody else that runs the point aside from Rubio, so I would love to see him go to Utah.
So it would probably be trades centered around trading Rubio and someone else like, what's his name? Not Joe Ingles. I think Dante Exum based on the money for Mike Conley. Oh,
yeah. But, I like Rubio as a player. It sucks that he has to be a journeyman and get sent everywhere, but, you know, Mike Conley going to Utah, I want to see both those players, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, do well. I just want to see them do well.
Exactly. Period. So now to Jabari Parker. That one's kind of been mysterious as of late. I'm not sure if he's going to get bought out. He's going to get traded. Probably going to get bought out since the lack of play he's been doing. I just kind of want to peer that out and kind of remind people that he exists. Just kind of like Melo existed last week or so. And then J.R. Smith still exists too. So he might be on the buyout market, trade market. There's just some of these players where it's a big question mark if they're going to go anywhere.
You know what? I got a perfect tweet for the stupid tweets of NBA.
So hold it. We'll go.
Regarding Jabari Parker. I just remembered one.
So we'll come back to that one.
Right.
And then, as always, we're going to wrap it up. Pau Gasol, still nothing on the front about that.
Somebody, Atlanta, just give us Taurean Prince already. Quit screwing around. Quit, you know, messing with us. Just give it to us. Just give it to us, and let's get it over and done with.
Kings,
you know, you need another center. I'm talking to you, Hawks fans. Just give us what we want.
Y'all got Trae Young. You got John Collins. You can give up Prince.
I don't care. Get you know, whatever you want. Just take Pau Gasol, and we'll give you Dante Cunningham. That way, you know, you don't lose out on that small forward position.
You have Pau. You have Bren.
Yeah, Pau. Whatever. Just take whoever just take you need someone. And just give us Prince. That's all I ask. That's all I want.
All right. All I want. And with that, concludes our segment of the Trade Roundabout.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
All right, and now we are going to get to the point of where these guys are really drunk, and they're definitely going on Twitter. So we had this idea last week where, because with the trade rumors happening and everything, there's a lot of dumb people tweeting out right now, and they're just tweeting out some dumb shit going on. And so we thought, why not? Let's just point out these really dumb people, and let's have some fun with it. So we're going to have some fun with dumb tweets. All right, so what was your tweet?
All right, so, and this is a tweet that's been going around, and there was a little screenshot of it, or there was a post that had Jabari Parker going to the Spurs for Bryn Forbes, Patty Mills, Pau Gasol, and a first rounder from the Spurs, all for Jabari Parker and Robin Lopez. Like, I don't know if they're just trying to be like a trolling or not, but that is literally one of the worst trade things I have ever seen in my life.
I had a bad one. All right, let me see if I can find it. It was a Zubac from the Lakers for DeJounte Murray. I thought that was dumb.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
It was
right. You got to do the Kawhi laugh on that one too.
So, if So just to let you guys know, if you guys do have a dumb tweet, please tweet it at us at the Lime Pod, or you can hashtag at the Lime. So we love reading dumb tweets, so we can just laugh at them. So this one, this tweet that I got comes from the NBA Fantasy Cast. You can follow them at NBA Fantasy Cast. They are also part of the Pulse Podcast Network. This guy at Dak Better. If you think the top three players of all time, no order, are anything different than LeBron, MJ, and Kobe, you're either 10 years old trolling or you're just a hater.
He was good with the first two, and then he screwed it up with Kobe.
I had to reorder it because it was LeBron, Kobe, and then MJ.
Oh my god. It's a good thing he said no particular order also.
But still. Then, second one I got is from Thunderbeat, which is another Pulse Podcast Network podcast. You can follow them at Thunderbeat Pod. They got this guy, Weston O_O. Yes, Ben Simmons is a top 5 point guard. Markel will be an all-star when healthy. I heard the silence from a mile away.
How does he expect Markel to be an all-star when he can't even get on the court? I don't think that... I mean, what the...
That was appropriate.
That was very appropriate.
All right. I know I have some more. This one I think I just found on Twitter randomly. It's by a guy named Jake Oliver Ellenbott. Block him. So it was about the Lakers want AD, and they were going to trade Kyle Kuz. They're thinking about Lonzo, Kyle Kuzma, Zubac in the first round pick. Well, this guy responded, "No, trade Ingram. Kuzma should be untouchable. Lonzo I like, but it seems obvious that Kyrie is coming next year."
Yeah, I don't know. The media is just pushing this Kyrie to the Lakers narrative, and I don't know, man. I know that they've rekindled their relationship or whatever, but come on now, what the hell?
This is my response.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
That's my response.
Yeah, exactly.
I have nothing else.
Exactly.
All right, another one is this one's pretty dumb too. This guy's Twitter is Warriors with one R, so it's War IOR Fan KD35. His is a top 10 current NBA players. I'm going to start from 10 to 1. Number 10, who do you think this is? Give me a guess.
Shoot, I have no idea. Top 10 current NBA players right now?
Yes. This guy's top 10. Also know that he is a Warriors fan.
Oh, so he's probably doing all Warriors. He's saying like Draymond Green?
Draymond Green is number 10.
Oh, right. I mean, I'm on that.
Number 9, Jokic, which I will give him. Number 8, Paul George. Number 7, Joel Embiid. So this kind of seems like normal. This kind of seems like a normal one. Number 6, Klay Thompson. But it's not Klay with a K. It's Klay with a C.
Well, so, he's a Warriors fan.
C-L-A-Y Thompson. Then, you're going to be surprised by number 5. Number 5, LeBron James.
What?
Exactly. At 5.
What? I can't even think of, like, who. Then, does he have Kawhi?
Number 4 is Giannis. Number 3 is... is Kawhi. And then you can probably guess who number 2 and number 1 are.
KD and Steph.
KD number 2, Steph number 1. Because Warriors, baby.
What the hell?
That's why we do this segment, because it's extremely stupid. This one's not a tweet. This one's a Reddit post. I thought this was just pure funny for trade-wise. It's, I can't get to see the name. So... this music is great. I love it. All right, so the Pistons would receive Anthony Davis. The Pelicans would receive Reggie, Stanley, Drummond, Kennard, Pachulia, Bullock, Ish, Calderon, Brown, Lure, Galloway, Robinson III, Little Caesars Arena, all five Great Lakes, and all Michigan residents. Just give us AD, please.
Oh my god.
Even they're really desperate when they want to trade the stadium.
You know, I do like Milwaukee though. Like I hope they go far.
Yeah, so. And then the last one's not really a tweet, but I showed you this one whenever I was looking for music for our podcast. So I ran into a few songs that had some really weird names for royalty free stuff. One of them was Super Skank. That one I do have. This song I'm about to play is called Super Skank, if I can get it right. It's actually a pretty cool track too, but it's called Super Skank. For some reason, I don't get the name at all. It's a good beat to it though. I like the beat.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good one. So I'm just gonna play this under. And then the other one, this one was the one I showed you. It was Bonerfied.
Yeah, that one's got to take the cake for it.
I don't know how the hell. It's Boner-fied. What the hell? It's like, what am I doing? Why am I looking at this stuff? But that's stupid tweets for you. If you have any stupid tweets, please tweet them at us at the Line Pod or hashtag at the Line. So that's it. That is our stupid tweets. If you have a better name for that, we actually might take it. So, but if you see any stupid takes, this is trade deadline time. We'll be happy to laugh at other people with you. And if you do send it to us, we will mention you for sending us because you had to deal with it before us. So please send those to us at the Line Pod. All right. So that kind of wraps it up. Do you have anything else you want to mention? You want to mention with the Spurs, NBA, anything like that?
No, man. I think we had a great, great week of games, and hopefully we can continue it out. Everybody in the Spurs Twitterverse, we love you. Thank you for your support and your appreciation. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Just keep it up, guys.
So, yeah, this is going to be pretty fun. I'm very interested in these upcoming games. I really hope that Warriors game goes well, because if not, it's going to be a bit... It shouldn't be too scary. It shouldn't be too bad. So, but thank you again for listening to At The Line Spurs NBA Podcast. You can check us out on our home base, atthelinepodcast.com. That's where we post all our stuff originally. It also just contributes to anything else. You can also find us on other beautiful websites called Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and we're now on Anchor. Anchor made my life easy, and then you guys probably heard this commercial on this podcast about it, too, if you're listening on Anchor. That if you please listen on Anchor if you can, that helps us a lot, and also just helps us grow and help us probably get more bigger audience. That helps us a lot. Like I said, you can find us on Twitter at the line pod. You can find us on Twitter. You can find me, Ty, at Ty Jaeger Radio, Ty Jaeger, JAGER Radio. And Mac, where can they find you?
You can find me at Mac Penn Media.
That is Mac Penn Media. Mac, M-A-C, like good old Mac. I don't know. I was going to say Mac McDonald's.
Like Big Mac.
Big Mac, Penn, as if what you write with, and then a beautiful media. At the Line is part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Please visit PulsePodcastNetwork.com for more beautiful podcasts like ours. We got all sorts of different NBA teams, as well as just broad NBA ones. One of my favorites is the NBA Recap by one of our good guys, Jay. Jay, am I saying that right? If I'm not, I feel like an asshole. Hopefully I'm saying that right. But he has a daily recap video about anything that goes on in the NBA. If you don't want to go look at all this stuff, he will tell you a good general rundown in about 10 minutes. And then, like I said, I was on the NBA Distribution Podcast, so please go check that out for all the NBA trade stuff if you want more in-depth stuff. Pulse Podcast does also have an app, so you can download the app on the Apple App Store or on the Google Play Store. This has been At The Line. Thank you for listening. And go Spurs go, and we'll see you at the line.